episodes. It's you, Tim.
And this is In-Flight Entertainment.
The freaking frightening film month.
Yes, we're in October. So last week we did all lady horror movies with Jennifer's Body and T. Thank you. This week we are diving into animals. And today we are going to Africa. Mm-hmm. And following a mercenary, like, group of soldiers that are there to rescue a hostage.
Yes.
With the 2020 film that came out in August, Rogue.
Yes. It didn't come out in theaters, definitely digital, because around this time all the theaters were shut down.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So it's definitely on digital. You can check it out now. You know, it's comfort of your own home.
It's on Prime Video for those that can get Prime Video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it stars Megan Fox. Remember her? She was in a movie we viewed last week, Jennifer's Body.
And, right. So we wanted, you know, the theme to sort of continue from one week to the other, ladies. Now we're throwing in some animals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, like she's like it's like if she's not well. I mean, Jennifer Rod, she was kind of a demon, right? She got possessed by a demon. Yeah.
So now she's a mercenary leading a squad of soldiers to rescue some chick.
That's
kidnapped by terrorists in Africa.
Yes. So the film. I'll kind of give people a little bit of. Like what you're in for. So the movie is kind of a two-parter. It splits into two. Clearly, the writer, director, or both really love Predator, the first
one. I was going to go with the writer-director really like Ghost in the Darkness.
That too. And that's the fusion, right? That's the fusion. Because that's where the two-parter come in, right? So you get your kind of Predator, like, at the beginning, right? So, people remember the first Predator, you know, you have Schwarzenegger and his mercenaries going in. I think they were in, like, Colombia or Nicaragua or something like that. You know, and so, it was the first half was, like, this shit blow-up action film. Like, you see the mercenaries, like, just plowing down, like, mercenaries, like, you know, grunts and all that stuff. And it's like, cool, job well done. It's time to go home. And then the second half of Predator is where kind of the horror survival mode kicks in. Because that's when the Predator starts hunting them. Kind of the same paradigm with this movie, right? So, I mean,
I can see that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it starts off with this, you know, this a really well, like, choreographed, like, action sequence. That involves Megan Fox and her mercenary crew, you know, they have to infiltrate this kind of, like, it wasn't a village. It's kind of like these kind of like mercenaries, you know, around tents and stuff like that. Yeah. And so
it's like nondescript African type whatever.
Yeah. And so, you know, gunfight ensues. So we don't know the objective. We just know they have to go in and do something. So, as they find kind of like a hut or a place or a compound, they go in and they see, you know, these women in cages. So it's like a sex trafficking type situation, that they're busting up, but they're hired to just get one and that's it. And it's like three of them or four of them. It's like three of them.
I think there's three total girls.
Yeah, that's three, so right. Yeah.
This is sort of where we start to see the dynamics of the different characters, where Megan Fox's character was hired for a single job to save one girl. And all the soldiers are like, we're good guys. We're going to save them all. And she's like, that's not the fucking job. I'm here to do a single job and focus on that. And you guys are distracting me.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be fucking human. And I feel like for every woman out there that's been in a situation where you have to be like tougher than the guys, she was going to the extreme in order to prove herself by becoming cold and dead.
But
she get it done.
Yeah, but she ended up just taking all of them anyway. because she have a heart.
Influence, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And she know, like, she can't leave them to be sex trafficked. They gotta get them. Like, let's just take them. Yeah, so it leads down this really cool, like, chase, you know, with these trucks and bullets whizzing past them. They're trying to get to their checkpoint or a rendezvous point. They see the helicopter. Like, okay, cool. There's our transpo. But one of the enemy trucks breaks out of course, you got to have a bazooka somewhere or a RPG. And they blow their transpo out of the sky. So now they have to improvise and get away from these killers and get to someplace safe where they can rendezvous with their people and get the hell out of there. So that's kind of the gist of the movie.
Right. So okay. Mm-hmm. Before we go further in the movie, I just want to point out that the director, the writer, and the star are all women. The director, MJ Bassett, also worked on a Cinemax TV show called Strike Back. Mm-hmm. It was actually on TV for, I think, like 6 years. 10 years, 2010 to 2020.
Wow.
And she directed a bunch of those episodes. And if you've ever watched Strike Back, and I'm not going to lie, I've watched a shit ton of Strike Back. It's good, like, mental candy when you need a break in the middle of the day from stress. She, like, the entire opening scene that you just described is basically a single episode of Strike Back. So I was like, yep, I know where you're going with this. This is perfect.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, well, I forgot to say. Oh, and like I said, it follows Predator formula to a T, because the movie starts off with these poachers, right? We see these kind of like these animal poachers, and we see the method of how they, you know, get the tusk and like get the lion's skin, the tiger's bones, whatever. But, you know, they kind of shuffle the cages one by one. They do, was it the air pressure, the air cannon kind of thing? They kind of put on their head and kind of blow it through their brain.
The air gun that you can kill an animal really quickly. But.
Yeah, so think of what Sugar had in No Country for Old Men. So that is like, yeah, so it's that weapon. And so something goes wrong. They one tiger kind of breaks loose and, you know, he pretty much eats up the poachers.
Hence, Ghost in the Darkness type of movie.
Yes.
Because you have a lion in Africa going after humans. Yeah. Not their normal prey.
Very much. Yeah. And Jaws. So we see that, and we kind of forget about that first, that opening sequence, right? So it's like, it's all about these mercenaries and getting out and getting to the rendezvous point.
Right. That just seems like a, like, throwaway scene until we come back to Megan Fox and all of her soldiers trying to escape.
Yes. And then this is like where the second half of the movie kicks in, you know, because like they're being chased, they hunker down in some like abandoned kind of fort or like warehouse or someplace. So this is kind of like your second act character development type thing. It's like the movie kind of stops. So you get to know the characters a little bit more, you know, kind of like the conflicts and dynamics, the potential backstabbing and, you know, the, you know, back talking, things like that.
Right. We also learn why Megan Fox's character was sent out to save this girl. Mm-hmm. It's not just about sex trafficking. It's just like developer or mayor or governor or something of an African province whose daughter was at a boarding school, and the bad guys kidnap her in order to force him to do something.
Right.
She was sent in to save the daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
we learn the daughter's story and then her friend's story. We also learn like some of the other soldier stories and that they were like child soldiers. Mm-hmm. But they turned their back on that.
Yeah.
Even though it's their family.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what you gotta, you know, before more people get picked off, you've got to, the movie slows down so you get time to know these people before they get killed. So when they get killed, you're like, oh, you know, it's like kind of one of those like situations.
Right. There's also, is it the Backstreet Boys or NSYNC that they keep singing?
Backstreet Boys, right?
Backstreet Boys, yeah. So soldiers have to stay awake at night. One of the soldiers keeps singing a Backstreet Boys song.
And it keeps irritating the other, soldier.
Yes. So that's sort of like a funny, that's the, like, the tension breaker through the second half of the movie is that song.
Yeah, totally. I did like the dynamic between two, because it was like, it was the Asian, soldier and, you know, the white soldier, and like, they all didn't talk about each other. Yeah. And the white soldier always singing the Backstreet Boys song just to piss off the Asian soldier because he hates that song. And yeah, it comes back, like you said, it comes back in like one of like, in more of a, more of the tension filled scenes. Yeah. Like you said, the tension breaks into some hilarity when that whole thing comes back. It's like, hey, sing this song to keep him awake, you know, so he can wake up because he hates this song. that's pretty cool. Yeah. And so remember that crazy lion we said before at the beginning of the movie that we forgot about? Well, this crazy lion with the scarred face. Scar, I call him Scar from Lion King. So Scar pretty much comes back, you know, finds the soldiers and pick them off one by one. A la Predator.
or Ghost in the Darkness.
Yeah, it goes, yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, take your pick. So many movies that, you know, who he borrows from. So then the mercenaries that were chasing them finally catches up to them. So now, you know, they got to fight their way through them and Scar from the Lion King, like, hunting them down. So now it's like two threats that they need to like escape from. So that kind of amps up the third act, you know, shoot out and dodge out of Scar. But that's kind of like, you know, it's a very simple, you know, straightforward. I mean, it's not a lot. Like I said, we just pretty much summed up the movie in like 8 minutes.
honestly, like, go watch an episode of Strike Back. There's a lot more nudity and a lot more sex in it than what you would see in this movie. Oh, okay. And just as much action.
Gotcha. this movie was definitely making statements and, you know, was trying to shed light on a lot of things, like, you know, sex trafficking, you know, and, you know, hunting, like illegal hunting,
and animal breeding.
All right, I got a question. Maybe I missed it throughout the dialogue. Okay, so it was a scene where the lead bad guy is kind of like the standoff between Megan Fox and the lead bad guy at the very end. And he was going into his kind of James Bond villain kind of monologue. And he was saying that the daughter's father that he kidnapped
yep.
was actually like one of those people who's doing the whole poaching and like hunting and all that stuff. Like,
yeah.
So was that true? Or because it was kind of like, it kind of like that whole conversation ended like, well, like, is that right? Or is he just like saying that?
I mean, from my perspective, I feel like it is true, because who else would have the type of money to send in a group of mercenaries to save his daughter? And why else would the bad guy, quote unquote, bad guys steal a daughter unless they were trying to force the guy that had the tiger breeding camp in order to do something bad?
Agreed.
Do something they want to. So I feel like he was telling the truth, but yeah. This was told from like the white savior perspective, and that it's only good if we're doing it. If someone else is doing it, it's bad. So,
okay, yeah, I'm with you. I agreed what he was saying. I believe what he was saying, because like you were saying, it's like, okay, yeah, and Heidi agrees also about that. she get what I'm trying to say.
So the Lakers just won as we're recording this, and the fireworks went off, and Heidi wasn't too happy about that.
No.
So we had to take a mini little break, but we are back.
Yeah. And congrats with the Lakers, you know, get y'all championship, you know. And it's and sad note is, you know, it's almost like a movie ended of the year, because Kobe passed away early this year. And they won the championship the same year as Kobe fans. So congrats. Congrats to you guys.
I mean, they had to do it for Kobe. So.
For Kobe, yes. He's smiling on all of them, you know. So congrats, guys.
Yes.
All
right. So. Okay, so how are we going to rate this movie for Animal Week? We have Ass on the Sofa. Go ahead and watch it. Put on your shoes. Or leave the house without a mask. You'd prefer not to really watch this. You'd rather go confront COVID.
It gets its shoes on. Because
yeah, I agree with that. There's some good action sequences.
Yeah.
And there's some good like character interaction, but. You know, it's kind of like Fast and Furious. It's a mindless eye candy. It's not great cinema.
And it was a couple of pieces of dialogue I had an issue with. It was that, you know, the ex kind of soldier that was helping them out, like, you know, the black dude, the African guy. And like, you know, the two girls, you know, that was high. She's like,
yeah.
It, I mean, I don't know. It was just something about that scene that I didn't like, because it was kind of like he was constantly saying, like, I was like, they forced me to do it. This is something I did not want to do. My family would have died if I did not do it. And they just kept. Like holding him account, like, well, you should be ashamed of yourself. It's like, wait a minute, like, I don't think I'm really digging this exchange. Instead of
right, I agree 100%. I felt like that type of scene where, like, they're trying to school the black dude for doing something he had no control over. But if they're in the same situation, it would have been okay. And so,
yeah,
that scene made me very angry. It's such like. It's okay for me, the white conservative, but for everyone else, it's wrong. And it was making me very angry. Right.
And then to slingshot to when I was asking you about what the bad guy was making that monologue about her dad, I was like, well, shouldn't you be like, wait a minute, my father is one of the reasons why you have to do stuff like this, you know, because of the system that my father is in to make these situations happen. To put you and your family in this position to be like this person. It's kind of like, Yeah, you're going to blame the drug dealer, but you're not blaming the system that's making drug dealers. Oh, no. It was one of those things. Like, yeah, it was kind of like, I wasn't really feeling that scene at all.
Yeah, when I say there was some good character interaction, it was mostly between the soldiers.
Not totally.
Between the girls and the soldiers. But, I mean, that goes back to the director did work on the TV show Strike Back, and a lot of what you see in this movie between the soldier interaction and the action actually feels very reminiscent of that TV show. And so if you like the action, I would say go check out the Cinemax show.
Yeah, totally. I'm definitely going to see that, yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. Like, everything was cool when I saw that scene. I'm like, I don't know. And then on top of that, I mean, Megan Fox is there just kind of like just shooting shit. Like, she's not even interjecting. Like, wait a minute, hold on, like, time out. Like, he had to do what he had to do, guys. Like, he was like, I was waiting for him to kind of just jump in as like, yo, like, I understand where he's coming from, but he's helping us now. So y'all shut the fuck up because he's helping us, you know. But she's just kind of like just chilling, you know, just listening and kind of just let them go.
If she was a good leader.
Yeah.
She would have said, like, she would have defended her soldier. She would have stepped in and been like, shut up, bitch. You have no idea what you're talking about. But instead, she was, like, passive-aggressive and not doing anything. And, Yeah.
But that's the biggest gripe I have with this movie, just, like, that scene. I'm like, But I wasn't really feeling that scene at all. But other than that, you know, it was entertaining. It was an entertaining B-movie, like you were saying. Yeah.
It's like if you have insomnia and it's on TNT when you have standard cable, it's the show, it's the movie that you watch, and you're totally satisfied with it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
It's just like all the Fast and Furious franchise.
Yeah. I don't know, but I definitely, my whole Fast and a little higher esteem. because it's family. All right. See, family would have checked each other, you know. Like Dom would have been like, hey, stop, you know, like, you should don't say that. That's family, you know. You don't talk about us. We're family. Damn it. You know, I was waiting for Megan Fox to say something. Be like, hey, we're soldiers. You know, stop. But anyway, so there you go, guys. Rogue, you know, if you can get a hold of it, check it out. It's a good, what, hour and 30 something minutes.
And this week I did lots of home improvement work.
Cool. All right. Well, on that note, since Heidi is cheering, we're going to see you on the flip side with Thursday. We wish everyone safe physical distancing
and wear a fucking mask.
Yes.
I was sitting home alone.